topic of today's show is there are three teams in the Carolinas undefeated right now. Clemson, Coastal Carolina, Carolina Panthers. All have interesting games this weekend. Clemson is going to Carter-Finley Stadium in Raleigh to face an NC State team that's 5-2 at a venue that in the past has ended in undefeated ACC teams' national championship aspirations. I'm speaking of their 2012 win over Florida State, that E.J. Manuel-led team. Coastal Carolina is going on the road at 7 p.m. to face a Charleston Southern team whose only loss is to an FBS team in Troy. That will be one of Coastal's future Sun Belt Conference opponents, and statistically speaking is excellent. We're going to get into some of Coach Moglia's thoughts on them here momentarily. That game, as a matter of fact, I phrase this as who is most likely to get upset, but as our friend Bob Doyle points out on Twitter, gambling website Five Dimes has Charleston Southern being a three-point favorite. So even though Coastal has the number one next to its name and Charleston Southern has the FCS number 19 next to its name, some people who are trying to make money betting on the game think that Coastal's starting at a three-point disadvantage. And lastly, the Carolina Panthers are taking on the Indianapolis Colts in the ultimate what-if trading spaces scenario game in which plenty of Panthers fans at one point in time thought they were getting Andrew Luck. Instead, they've got Cam Newton. And that was quite the show topic all throughout this week in Charlotte radio is who would you rather have? My answer, still Andrew Luck. I think that he's dealing with some injuries right now, and I love Cam. Cam's one of the greatest consolation prizes ever if you can't get Andrew Luck, but narrowly. I'm open to thinking about it. Last year after Andrew Luck's 40-touchdown season, I would have just said, no, there's no thought process here. Now I'm willing to entertain it. I just would still lean Luck.
I think in the system in Carolina, it works very well with Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of situations with fit. I mean, you couldn't just drop Andrew Luck in Cam Newton's place and expect him to run the offense the exact same way. I mean, to be able to run the zone read like that, that's something that he does not do in Indy, right? And he tries to throw the ball downfield all the time in Indy. That's something that Cam does occasionally to try to reach Ginn, but they don't do it the same rate. But yeah, I would still lean Luck there. So of those three teams, 843-652-3776, or hit us up on Twitter at 1003 the team, who is most likely to get their first loss this weekend? That's what I'm interested in hearing from you guys on. And basically my answer, and in the order that I'm answering, is Coastal Carolina most likely to get their first loss, then the Panthers, and then Clemson. I mean, this Clemson team is beating the doors off of mediocre competition. And NC State's 5-2 record is a lot. It's a lot of window dressing. It was the bad non-conference schedule that other schedules were compared to. Like when Jim Zocchi of the Panther Radio Network was talking about the Panthers 4-0 start to the season on Aaron's show, The Drive, he said, we have the NC State non-conference schedule to start off the season. So NC State has had a joke of a season. Their ACC win is over Wake Forest, which is not exactly convincing in my opinion. So I think State, even though they're going on the road to Carter-Finley, I think they're going to absolutely smash NC State. Now, the Panthers I do anticipate will beat the Colts because Andrew Luck is not Andrew Luck right now. He is injured, and that locker room has a weird vibe to it. When you've got your general manager and your owner, Ryan Grigson and Jim Irsay, shouting at each other in the hallway, and you've got a head coach who knows he's fired at the end of the season, and a hurt quarterback, that's a lot asking people to focus. And momentum and energy in a locker room can change on a dime, and I think that theirs is looking not so great. So I would anticipate, without getting too deep into the X's and O's, just Andrew Luck's health and the bad vibe coming out of Indy, I would imagine the Panthers stay undefeated. And Coastal Carolina and Charleston Southern, that's the game of their season. This is Coastal Carolina's season. With the respect or lack thereof that the Big South has nationally, it is not guaranteed that Coastal would get a first-round bye in the FCS tournament if they lose to Charleston Southern. And they could lose the Big South. I mean, technically they tied for the Big South, but Liberty won it last year because they had the head-to-head win. If they lose this weekend, it's talking about back-to-back years without winning your conference, which sounds crazy, as good as they have been. And Coach Moglia, taking a look at Charleston Southern, says of the eight teams that they have studied this year, he says Charleston Southern is definitely the best.
All right, with regards to Charleston Southern, I have not studied the teams we have not played yet, so this is not a comment on them. But of the 8 games we will have played so far this year, there is no question that they are the best team on the schedule.
Strong words from Coach Moglia there. Usually you don't hear a coach differentiate between different teams or say anything other than, hey, we're focused on stopping Charleston Southern this week. For them to say that it's the toughest team they've seen, I think is saying something when you think about how many games they've had that have been in jeopardy this season. Monmouth last weekend, Presbyterian the weekend before that, Western Illinois. I mean, there have been a lot of games where Furman, where they haven't necessarily looked like the better team, but have gotten the clutch stop on defense, have had the excellence on special teams, the clutch play from Alex Ross, the consistency on the ground from D'Angelo Henderson. All of those things they're bringing into this weekend. They still have winning DNA, but they just have a lot of games where they've given up too many yards, to be honest with you. I mean, Monmouth outgained them. Monmouth, who was 3-4 heading into that game, outgained them by 100 yards and would have won if they had a field goal kicker. Their kicker missed a 39-yarder, and they didn't use him again the rest of the game. So if they had a field goal kicker, they would have won that game. And I'm not going to outright say that Coastal has been lucky, because I think that you create your own luck, and certainly that has been special teams for the Chanticleers. They deserve credit for being excellent on special teams, but they have been flirting with losing to worse teams than Charleston Southern on the road. And so if I have to rank those three, that's where I'm going. 843-652-3776 is the number. Now, Dabo wants us to think that NC State could beat him this weekend.
This is a complete football team that is playing with confidence. And again, it's a tough place to play. We all know that here. We have great respect for NC State. I think their environment there is one of the best places that certainly we have in this conference, and one of the better places that I've been to.
Dabo always sounds like he's running for office, doesn't he?
Hey, they were the last non-ranked team that beat Clemson, so...
Yeah, that is interesting, because they ended a national championship run from Florida State. That was a very good Florida State team, quarterbacked by E.J. Manuel. I mean, they were... You know, Xavier Rhodes was an outstanding defensive back who was a first-round pick. I mean, they had... They had a really good defensive line that year. Mark Stoops was their coach. He's now the coach at Kentucky. I mean, that was a really good team that Florida State had, and they just choked at NC State. And you mentioned before Clemson decided to go on the anti-Clemsoning streak of all time, that last non-conference loss they had to an unranked opponent, rather, was NC State. So interesting symmetry there that NC State has both of those marks in their column heading into this game. But as always with historic situations, it's tell me about this year's team versus Clemson. I don't really care for stats. Oh, Clemson's record all time is this versus NC State. It's like, okay, well, are Chuck Amato and Terry Bowden coaching this game? If so, then it's irrelevant. If not, then it's irrelevant. But Carter Finley should have a decent atmosphere, unless Clemson gets up, I don't know, 21-0 early. Then it can be a graveyard. I mean, I was there. The only time that I've actually been to Carter Finley for a game, they look nice on TV, like when NC State's in it. But the only game I've been to at Carter Finley, I saw UVA hammer NC State in 2012 on homecoming, and that was the day that everybody knew that Tom O'Brien was done. It was like 30-3 or something.
In my opinion, I think the Panthers could be the ones that are most likely to lose. I mean, you said Luck is struggling, but you expect that offense to bounce back, and we've yet to see the Panthers put up any sort of big numbers. And I mean, it could be a good test for them going in the week before the Packers, because we know that's going to be a pretty high scoring game, I would assume.
Yeah, so. I think that as turnover prone as Luck is right now, they are really relying on him to make big plays. And with Josh Norman, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, I mean, there are a lot of players who can make you pay for gambling. And that seems to be what the Colts offense is, gambling downfield all the time.
Well, is the pass rush going to stay the same as it's been the last few weeks, or is it going to be the pass rush we saw at the beginning of the year where there was no pass rush? So you leave Andrew Luck in the pocket all day and give him time to pick you apart.
True.
That is dangerous.
Yeah, I can't predict if Kawhan Short is going to be the second coming of Warren Sapp for the third consecutive week, or if he's going to go back to being an above average but not great NFL player. Who knows on that front?
We got Defensive Player of the Month, so it's still October, I guess.
With Kawhan Short's emergence and Jared Allen getting in the rotation, I think that their pass rush is definitely better. For certain, it's better. But are they going to be able to get that consistent pressure on Andrew Luck? That would certainly help. Make him get that ball out of his hand quicker. Make a quarterback who's prone to gambling too much gamble even more. And I like their chances.
And they definitely have different options to throw to. I mean, besides Hilton, they got Andre Johnson and Dante Moncrief. Josh Norman can't guard them all.
No, and Josh Norman did say that T.Y. Hilton was top two. Top two of the guys that he's faced this year. It's like, really, Josh? You're going to put DeAndre Hopkins out in the cold? Or...
Yeah, that's pretty rough. He's having an amazing season.
Yeah, I mean, he's faced some really good receivers thus far this season. It's like, who is the guy that you're putting out there in your top two? Who's that guy you're pushing out in the cold? Of course, he's going to see Julio twice after this. He's going to see Odell Beckham later in the season. But Josh Norman's gone after some pretty decent receivers. And T.Y. Hilton is fast. I mean, he has big-time, big-play potential, but I'm not looking at him based on some of the things Josh Norman's done this year. If they are head up going against each other on every play, that guy is not one of the guys that scares me. It's not like, again, if it were Julio or Odell Beckham, I would be more likely to say, okay, that guy tears him up. But I don't see Josh Norman's streak of excellence coming to an end whatsoever. 843-652-3776. Raider Dave is on the line. What's up, man?
I'd like to agree with you on this one, that I think Carolina's got a pretty good chance of winning this game. The one key thing that I'd say they really have to do is rely on Jonathan Stewart. They have not been doing that enough. I think that in a game like this, when you're up against a quarterback like Andrew Luck, your best weapon is killing time. And that is what Jonathan Stewart is made for, is run that ball 3-4 yards at a clip and just keep getting the first downs. If you don't do that, if you try and go into a passing game, you don't have the weapons on Carolina to go into a passing game against the Colts. So as great as the defensive secondary is for Carolina, if you don't establish that running game and stay with that running game throughout the whole game, you stand a chance of losing. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, absolutely, Raider Dave. I hear you on that. And the added bonus of going to Jonathan Stewart and making him the focal point of your offense is that's the kind of back that you can bring down, but he's always going to get the extra, whether it's 2 steps or 5 yards on every run, and he's going to make people feel it. Like, when you hit Jonathan Stewart, you might be able to bring him to the ground, but that's not an easy tackle. He's not just laying down. And so the way that he runs and the style that he runs, I think that wears teams out later in games. So in addition to keeping Luck off the field, I think that does open up opportunities for him in the fourth quarter to really get loose, because who wants to see him, you know, try and tackle him for the sixth time in a game? I think when you get hit by a freight train that often, you start to get a little skittish. And then, okay, if you're not hitting Jonathan Stewart, is it going to be Cam or Tolbert, which isn't fun either? So I agree that a little old-school black and blue football, that's what the Panthers do all season. That's what they should do against the Colts this weekend. Sam is on the line right now. What's up, Sam?
Hey, man, I just want to touch on the Panthers and kind of disagree a little bit from what Raider Day was talking about. And, I agree. We need to keep running the ball like we're doing now. Our offense runs really well when we have the ball moving. But that's what sets up our passing game. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've started running the up-tempo later in the second half. Is when we started going into that up-tempo and Cam starting to throw the ball a little more, because it gets in a rhythm. And of course the run game sets up the passing game. And if, you know, everyone keeps sleeping on the no-name wide receivers we have, that's the best thing that can happen, because what they're going to do is they're going to load the box and they're going to threaten Cam to throw the ball, which I feel good about that. I'm not scared when he's dropping back. I think that's a good matchup to have. And I'll take Teddy again on the outside one of those slants all day, because it's going to happen. It's going to start breaking that, you know, that first tackle. When he breaks that one tackle, it's going to be a touchdown. Philly Brown's coming alive. And Greg Olsen, I think, is the best tight end in the league right now as far as stats go. But, great. Keep running the ball. I definitely agree with that. Let's keep that going. Let's keep churning Jonathan Stewart up. Hopefully he does not get hurt. That would be devastating. And Brian, how dare you say Jano can't cover the whole backfield? I mean, have you seen that guy play?
Challenging him. Sam, I just want to clarify here. Little follow-up question. You would take Olsen over Gronk?
With the system that we're running right now, yes. I think he's more of an all-around. I think he can block a lot better than Gronk. That's just me personally, the run game they're running now. I would now, of course, if we were, you know, for the passing game, no doubt. I think that Gronk is definitely, he's just a beast. You could put him at running back and he'd probably gain 6 yards a carry, you know. But, as far as the game that we're running right now and the cohesion that we have on the field, those guys are really playing for each other. And I really would like the way Greg Olsen blocks. I mean, he blocks as well as he catches the ball, and I actually like that.
Yep, appreciate the call, Sam. Not with Sam whatsoever on taking Gronk over Olsen. Even Olsen's value in the locker room and his it's funny. I think that Olsen is starting to get credit for the blocking that he does. But like 2 or 3 years ago, if you were in Charlotte and asked people if Greg Olsen gives a damn on running plays, they would really complain about him.
Yeah, I'll take $1.15 and a touchdown from my tight end every week.
Yeah. I mean, Olsen is in the conversation for the second best tight end in the league, and that wouldn't have been so if Jimmy Graham were still in New Orleans and were still getting big time targets. And that's where the complex, well, Jimmy Graham doesn't block worth the you know what. I'll take Olsen over him. And you know, ever since on Monday Night Football they came up with the highlight reel of Jimmy Graham's non blocks, and then they said Marshawn Lynch is averaging 0.5 yards per carry when Graham is lined up as a tight end in the same play. That's like, woof, man. You're like a bullfighter, Jimmy Graham. You're throwing your cape out there, and then you're just letting people run at your quarterback and your running backs. I mean, my goodness. But, yeah, I think with the question with Greg Olsen, if you're a Carolina Panthers fan or if you're more likely if you're Mike Shula or Cam Newton, but it's something that we do as fans wonder, is how aggressively do you target Greg Olsen when he is the focal point of the opposing team's defense, right? I understand, and you talk to Joe Moglia, who coaches Coastal Carolina, of course. You talk to Mickey Wilson, the head coach of Myrtle Beach. You talk to any coach, I mean, they will always say balance, balance, balance. We look at what the defense gives us, and then we take that. But I do wonder sometimes if there are some games where people just put a lot of bodies at Olsen, and Olsen will have 3 catches for like 18 yards, and you're like, well, man, shouldn't you just try to force feed the guy? But I think it all depends on how the defense sets up. Nothing shocking, absolutely, what I just said. 843-652-3776. Panthers, Clemson, Coastal Carolina, all undefeated. Who's most likely to pick up that first L this weekend? Let us know. Also, going to get into a discussion coming up next. Who in the Carolinas in sports makes for the best Halloween costume? That's next on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Call 843-652-3776 and get loose.
I'm feeling a little loose here in Thriller right now. It's a good thing there isn't a simulcast. You guys don't want to see these moves. You guys got nothing for them. It would just inspire insecurity all over the Grand Strand to see how I react to Thriller right now. Opening topic of the show of the three undefeated teams in the Carolinas, Coastal Carolina, Clemson, and the Panthers, who is most likely to pick up their first L this weekend? Heard from Raider Dave and Sam, myself and Brian. If you guys want to weigh in, at 1003 the team on Twitter, 843-652-3776. And I saw an abundance of Jim Harbaugh costumes for Halloween today. They're all over the internet. Colin Cowherd, to his credit, has the awkward interview with Jim Harbaugh a couple of months ago. He owns it by dressing up like Jim Harbaugh. My friend Chris, who is a Michigan fan, who's a school teacher in Pennsylvania, texted me this morning a picture of him wearing his Harbaugh stuff. There's just like the internet's just flooded with people in the Harbaugh costume because it's easy, right? It's cheap. You have the Navy Michigan long sleeve shirt. You've got the Navy Michigan hat. You wear a pin necklace around your neck and you just kind of like crouch in khakis and then boom, you're Jim Harbaugh. Like that's an easy Halloween costume.
So are you being J.C. Sherbert or Carl Benson?
Ooh, Carl Benson would be the easier of the two Halloween costumes. He's got some funky-looking glasses. Like, they look like sport shades, but they're clear. But I don't. You know what? See, that's the thing down here is that nobody is going to get that. Nobody's gonna get that. If I were J.C. Sherbert, I would need to, like, blow-dry the hair, like, more vertical, right? Like, he's kind of got, like, he's got a big thing going on with his hair. But nobody else would get that, right? I was thinking, like, who in the Carolinas could be part of a Halloween costume and someone would get it. And I think the obvious one is shirtless, visor, Coors can, shorts. You're Steve Spurrier, right? I mean, that one is the one that I could think of, like, or visor with some kind of South Carolina shirt on, boom, you're Steve Spurrier. But I'm just trying to think. I'm struggling to find anybody else in the Carolinas who you could be. Like I could wear capri pants and some really weird-looking blazer and some really weird-looking loafers and be like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm Cam Newton. And they're like, okay, you're a skinny white guy that's 5 inches shorter than him. Like, you're not Cam Newton. So, like, I couldn't pull that off.
Well, what would the Norman outfit look like? Like, one of those stick horse things with a tomahawk and a box in your hands?
Yeah, you know, if you wore a Jano jersey and you had a stick horse and a tomahawk, like, the hardcore Carolina Panthers fan would recognize that.
Yeah.
Like, if you put that on Twitter, you would probably get a bunch of retweets from Carolina Panthers fans. But, like, the average person, like, you walk into a bar or a room in the Grand Strand where just an average gathering of people, is there really anybody in sports in the Carolinas who you could dress like and someone is like, someone would differentiate you from being a fan and being somebody on Halloween having a costume, right? Like, I'm thinking of Roy Williams. There's nothing that Roy Williams really wears. I mean, Roy wears some bad ties. He wears some questionable blazers, but it's just like, okay, why are you wearing a suit? It's Halloween, right? Like, you're not getting that kind of recognition. Coach K, what are you going to wear, 5 rings? Who has that many rings?
People say he looks like a rat sometimes.
You know what? I'm just, Brian, this is hard-hitting journalism on this show. We take our integrity seriously. We're not going to call Coach K.
I didn't say I call him
a rat.
We're
not going
Duke.
To compare him to animals, okay? He is a distinguished gentleman.
You could be Chauncey. It's the best Halloween costume.
Yeah, well, if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you then have to tell people how to pronounce Chanticleer. Like, that becomes part of your night's plan. So if you know,
maybe they should read more.
Yeah, is that your stance?
Yeah,
that's your stance, that people should know, everywhere should know how to pronounce Chanticleer.
Yeah, go read some Chaucer.
Okay. Yeah, there's nobody in the. I see. I'm struggling here. Like, I would think someone dressing up like Dabo would be kind of funny. Like, I think that you would wear like a Clemson hat and a whistle around your neck. I think that's, like, Dabo kind of has, like, when he's coaching practice and then goes to meet with the media, he kind of has a bit of the, like, seventh grade gym teacher look. But I don't think that a random person who's not a sports fan, they're like, okay, cool, you like Clemson, what's your Halloween costume? Like, I don't know that anybody really has that kind of juice.
Maybe like Jeremy Lin or Frank Kaminsky, but still, that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, see, Frank is just a big, goofy white guy. Like, that's just, you're not, I mean, and he hasn't really built up enough of a brand around here in the Carolinas. Jeremy Lin, I mean, people aren't used to him being in Charlotte yet. I mean, they just played their first game the other night.
Like a fake couch and wear a Jeremy Lin jersey.
Michael Jordan, I don't know. People are so obsessed with the crying Michael Jordan face on Twitter. Maybe you just cry. I don't even know how you can strew that.
Yeah, the Michael Jordan fans would get upset and be like, You're disrespecting him.
I don't know what to make of this. I mean, do we not have enough sporting icons in the Carolinas to come up with a go-to costume?
Yeah, I guess not.
I honestly think Spurrier is the only one you could dress up like and be identified.
Yeah.
Per Sam's call earlier, Brian got an angry text message from a friend about the Gronk to Olsen comparison, and we invite people to share their opinions. That opinion is not endorsed by Sound Off as a show. Rob Gronkowski this year, 40 catches, 646 yards, 7 touchdowns. Greg Olsen, 27, 439, and 3. So, distinct statistical difference. That said, everybody knows with the Carolina Panthers, the two most dangerous things that they have are Greg Olsen in the passing game and the quarterback run. So I think those are the things that people are most keyed in on. And it's almost like protection in a lineup in baseball. I don't know that Greg Olsen has enough protection on the field. I don't know that there are other people on the field that prevent him from getting double teamed. Like, if they take the top off the defense with a Ted Ginn home run pass early, that holds teams accountable, but that hasn't happened in a couple of weeks.
It's not like the Patriots have a ton of other weapons besides Gronk. I mean, he's obviously their go-to.
Well, Brady. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, and that was going to be my other point. It helps when your quarterback's throwing 55 times a game. So, gets those stats up there quite nice.
Yeah,
it's the Kobe syndrome, I like to call it.
What's the Kobe syndrome?
Brady throwing for 50 times is like Kobe shooting 60 times a game. It's obviously, oh, yeah, you drop 40 points.
No, no, that absolutely not. Because Brady throwing 50 times a game is what the Patriots, that maximizes their chances of winning.
They're up 37 and they keep throwing. What are you talking about maximizes their chances of winning?
Kobe taking 30 shots a game does not maximize the Lakers' chances of winning.
It used to.
Tom Brady is still one of the best five players in professional football, and they deserve to make him the focal point of whatever they choose to do on offense.
Not when the game's over at halftime.
Kobe Bryant is nowhere near one of the five best players in the NBA anymore, and his perception in his mind has not adjusted with the limitations of his body. Like, say what you want about Peyton Manning and how it's unfortunate that he's still playing football and it's not fun to watch a sporting icon fade in front of our eyes. He at least knows what he is at this stage of the game. Like, their offense is designed for him to make throws that he can make. Like, they're not trying to go deep every play. Like, they're not doing what Andrew Luck does in Indianapolis. They're like, okay, we've got a weak-armed, very smart quarterback. Let's put him in position to have success. It's just, when his velocity is that slow, it is still hard to have success, as smart as Peyton Manning is. Kobe has not changed his game one iota since he was 25 years old and the best two-guard in the NBA. The self-awareness just simply isn't there. Not that we needed to make this entire show about Kobe, but I'm just interested, is there anybody in sports in the Carolinas you think that we could make a costume out of? Like, because there's nothing about Mowgli as get-up. There's nothing about him that you would say, like, okay, that's Moglia. Like, I guess if you're dressing up like Cliff Ellis, the Chanticleers basketball coach, you could wear the suit, and then you could have the arms out, like, asking the crowd for noise. And Coastal Carolina fans and employees would recognize that. I just don't know that the average person in a bar would.
Well, I don't know if this really counts as Carolina sports, but Kenny Powers, obviously.
Kenny Powers.
I mean, that's technically
the greatest athlete in Myrtle Beach history, Kenny Powers. So
exactly. Everyone knows that. Or
that's
almost
a good
everyone.
One. You know, it's funny. I get that when I'm out of town. People are like, oh, you live in Myrtle Beach, Kenny Powers. Like,
I actually met some guy from Shelby, North Carolina. I was, oh, isn't that where Kenny Powers is from? He's like, yeah.
Hey, you know, when someone's a true legend, there's more than one town that claims them, right? Anyways, 843-652-3776. You want to weigh in on either of those two questions. Who in the Carolinas of the three undefeated teams is likely to pick up their first L this weekend? And who in the Carolinas could make a passable Halloween costume? One that the average person would recognize who you are. I still think the only one I think is Spurrier. I think the Spurrier visor is the only thing that's really iconic enough to make a Halloween costume out of. Maybe you disagree. All right, we're going to hit a quick break here on Sound Off. And the lengths that the Jets went through to make sure the Patriots weren't cheating the other day would astound you. Who are you going to call?
Sound off.
Got some hot sports takes? 843-652-3776. Couldn't resist that one. It just fits too well with what we're doing on this show. Trying to talk about sports, inviting the community to participate, and on some level making fun of ourselves. Got a tweet, 1003 the team, saying Roy Williams is the easiest person to dress up like in the Carolinas in sports. And I just don't know what it is that's signature Roy, though. Like, I could see an outfit and be like, okay, that's reminiscent of something that Roy Williams wears. Like, you could wear some of that Alexander Julian stuff. Like, you could wear a crazy looking tie and, you know, a blazer. And I could, in my mind's eye, I could see the get up that would make somebody dress like Roy and maybe a championship ring, like a class ring or something. But I don't think that the average person would look at you and say you're dressing up like old Roy. Roy. I think Spurrier does, though. I mean, that's, anyways, 843-652-3776 is the number if you guys have thoughts. And this is a story that popped up all over today, that the Jets, when they were playing against the Patriots, had the NFL actually sweep their locker room for bugs beforehand. They did not trust the Patriots. I mean, they were really looking into things. I can't tell if this is legit or if they're trolling, because either way, it's a win, right? Boomer Esiason is the first person who reports on this. And maybe if you're part of the Jets management, you just want to extend the middle finger to the Patriots. Maybe you don't think that it's possible that they have recording devices. Or maybe can you really be too certain? I mean, they've shown very little regard for rules in the past. And as I've said many, many times, it's not the reason why they win games, but it's also hard to tell what the exact percentage that they're helped is, right? I mean, you don't know how many fewer games they would have won if they didn't do all the shady stuff, but at the same time, you have no idea how much it helps.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. Why does the NFL have equipment to sweep rooms for listening devices, but they don't have a system in check to stop people from tampering with the football, which is actually what their job probably should be?
Yep, and they claim they didn't see the full Ray Rice video ahead of time. Yeah. But they have the technology to sweep locker rooms for bugs. Yeah, there are a lot of things that the NFL says that are not believable whatsoever. But at the same time, if there was a story, if you just said, you know, blank NFL team, it puts listening device in opposing locker room, I think 99.99% of people would be like, oh, what? Man, that's a really crazy length the Patriots just went to.
Anything's possible.
I suppose so. I really do. Halloween night coming up on Saturday. I'm kind of boring. I don't really have a Halloween costume. So maybe this is a self-serving topic. If I'm asking people who in sports in the Carolinas makes a good costume, am I just really asking someone to do homework for me? I mean, maybe. There's that thought in this process here. But we will be out at the warehouse, as we are for every Coastal Carolina road game. Every Coastal Carolina home game, we're actually in the stadium. And from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, so from 3 hours to 1 hour prior to kickoff, that's when the tailgate show goes. That's myself and Joe Catenacci. I did a sit-down with Coach Mowgli earlier in the week. We'll play that interview in its entirety during that two-hour span. The voice of Charleston Southern is going to join us. Excellent analysis for that game. And on top of that, of course, we do have the Chanticleer Sports Network broadcast that takes over an hour beforehand and carries throughout the entire game. So we're going to be out there for Halloween at the warehouse. And Coastal's got their hands full this weekend. I mean, this is the game that everyone has really looked to. The last time they were at Charleston Southern, they lost. Coach Mowgli candidly told me that the first time they went to Charleston Southern, he did not think they were prepared to see the Charleston Southern offense. And Coach Mowgli actually admitted that during the bye week, they practiced against the triple option. They actually installed some triple option in practice to go up against it, which totally goes counter everything that you hear from coaches usually. The next game is the most important game. Focus on beating Monmouth is the refrain that you would have expected to hear. And after the Monmouth win, he says, yeah, we did take a look at the option a little bit in the bye week. We did take a look at that. And I think that shows a tremendous amount of respect for Charleston Southern right there. More than any words about how good their offense is or how good their defense is, the fact that they looked at the option during the bye week and they did some practices during the summer. Now, I know Kennesaw State runs the triple option as well, but I think this is probably more for Charleston Southern than the Kennesaw State Owls in their first year in the Big South. But Coach Mowgli, a lot of respect for the Charleston Southern offense.
From an offensive perspective, you know, they're the 10th rushing, number 10 rushing team in the country offensively. They're number 6 in the country in terms of time of possession. That plays very, very well against us in the sense of keeping the ball out of the offense's hand.
Okay, and he also has respect for their defense.
From a defensive perspective, here's where they stack up nationally. Number 10 against the run. Number 5, scoring. Number 3, passing. Number 1, total defense. They are an outstanding defensive team. They will blitz you anytime they can. They will not hesitate to do that. They're sound when they do. They'll come from different spots. They'll do a decent job of disguising it. They will mix up their fronts. They will mix up their man and zone. And they have tough kids to do a good job of getting to the ball. There's a reason why they're one of the better defensive teams in the nation. One of the best defensive teams in the nation.
A lot of that actually terrifies me. If you're a Chanticleer fan, you want to see them continue to be undefeated. You want to see them get a national seed and a high one at that, so you don't have to go to North Dakota State in the quarterfinal. Coastal Carolina, who knows, they might have been able to win the FCS championship last year if they didn't have to go to the Fargo Dome in the quarterfinal round. If they don't miss the field goal against Liberty, then they are the top seed in the FCS tournament because they are number 1. They might have been the second team in the FCS tournament seeding, but either way, the road would have gone through Myrtle Beach instead of going to the Fargo Dome. They would not have been in that game against North Dakota State. So a mistake in the regular season in the Big South means that you're really going to get punished in the FCS tournament. I guess it should be said, and Bob Doyle pointed this out on Twitter before our show started, gamblers would see it as a mistake on Charleston Southern's behalf. They are favoring on five dimes. They are actually favoring Charleston Southern, despite the fact that they are ranked 19th and Coastal's ranked 1. The number 19 team is favored at home by 3. And what Coach Moglia had to say there about Charleston Southern being ranked 5th against the run, that's what Coastal Carolina's strong suit is this year. At times, the passing offense has been off a little bit. Alex and his ankle problem, it's hurt him on his follow-through. It has not had the same explosion that you've seen from Chanticleer offenses in the past, but the consistency has been D'Angelo Henderson getting into the end zone as he has 21 consecutive games. It's Oshamar Abercrombie running very hard north-south in the fourth quarter. That is, if you're asking me what Coastal Carolina is good at, I'm like special teams and running the ball. And Charleston Southern is excellent against the run, and not only that, but they run excellently themselves. They average 250 on the ground per game. Coastal gave up 277 to Monmouth last week. I do not like what Charleston Southern does from a matchup perspective. And I'm not really sure what I feel good about. I mean, if Alex Ross can move around and run a little bit, that changes their offense significantly. And I say this when I talk about the Carolina Panthers in the preseason. When people complain about their offense and say that they're not dangerous, I always say this in the preseason. The Panthers have a Pro Bowl player that they don't use in the preseason. That's Cam Newton's ability to run. Because why risk him getting out and taking an extra hit when it's just a preseason game? Why give people an extra look at what makes you more dynamic? Be safer. And I think, to a certain extent, people have viewed the Coastal Carolina offense in that way. They've been in a bunch of winnable games, and Alex Ross hasn't run the ball that much. I mean, last year, Alex averaged like 48 yards rushing on the ground. This year, it's like 15. The fact that his ankle is bum and they've been playing against teams that they've expected to beat, he hasn't been able to do that same damage with his feet. Now, what we don't know is how much of that is him actually hurting versus respect to the opponent, because the respect to the opponent is going to be there in spades this weekend. The question is, can Alex Ross call his own number and gallop for some first downs when he needs to? And that is something that has been holding the offense back, because Patino has designed this offense to involve the quarterback run. And Alex has all of the guts in the world. I mean, I think Alex Ross, in terms of his intelligence, his leadership, and his poise, I couldn't think more of the guy. I just don't know what percentage of health he is. I don't know if he's 60%. I don't know if he's 80%. I just know that this year's Alex Ross is not as dangerous as the 2014 Alex Ross or the 2013 Alex Ross. And I know it's not because his quarterback skills got worse, or that he didn't work hard in the offseason, or that he's somehow dumber than he was those past 2 years. To me, it's his ankle. And are we going to be able to see him make those big plays this weekend? And the Coastal defense just has to bone up against the run. I mean, they really have to do something. That defensive front has to be better against the run than they've been all year. And I don't know that practicing against the option over the summer or over the bye week is going to help them in that regard, but it can't hurt. And that would have been really unfortunate if they had lost to Monmouth and spent some practices looking at the option during the bye week. I think that would have been a bad look. But hey, you escape, you get a look at it, and who knows, maybe they have something for them this weekend. But when Charleston Southern, they have not lost to an FCS team yet this year. When you look at what they're doing to conference teams, they're blowing them out. And Coastal is escaping with wins, with clutch play at the end and good special teams. And that's not a great recipe. At some point, you do set yourself up to actually pick up an L. And so if you ask me to bet my own money on this game, if you ask me to, I would bet on Charleston Southern. I'm not saying I would use the actual five dimes line, but if you're calling it a pick 'em, I understand why Charleston Southern is favored. I would probably lean to saying Charleston Southern wins this weekend. And the way we phrase this as a show topic is, who amongst Clemson, the Panthers, and Coastal Carolina, all three teams undefeated in the Carolinas, who's most likely to pick up the L? The Panthers hosting the Colts on Monday Night Football? NC State has that game in Carter-Finley Stadium against Clemson, but to me, that's the lowest level of upset alert. Clemson is just filthy this year. I mean, I don't know when people nationally are going to start talking about how dominant they've been. I mean, 58-0 on Miami. They've had games this year where they've both run for 400 yards in one game and thrown for 400 yards in another game. I mean, for your offense to have that same ability on a team in the same season, that hasn't happened since West Virginia in 2011. So, and that speaks nothing of their defense that's ranked top 10 in every category and has first-round picks in Mackenzie Alexander and Shaq Lawson. That is a very, very good Clemson team. I think they stay undefeated. Panthers could go down on Monday Night Football, but I'm leaning toward the Panthers. I'm picking the Panthers. And Coastal Carolina, to me, has the greatest risk of losing a game this weekend. If you guys want to answer that show question, 843-652-3776 is the number. Let us know on Twitter, at 1003theteam. Coming up next, a little buy or sell. We'll announce the top games of the week. Appropriate bump bag music. Welcome back to Sound Off, Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. This is a little more sinister than the Who You Gonna Call Ghostbusters bump bag, Brian.
Gotta get everyone in the mood for tomorrow.
Are you a horror movie guy? Like, is that something that you do?
I mean, I'll watch them. I'm not, like, some people are, like, avid, like, oh, I must watch horror movies. Like, I don't know.
The only time that I will ever watch a horror movie is when there's a group setting and I don't want to be the guy that's like, this is a bad idea. Like, I don't want to be the guy that just totally wimps out. I see no purpose in the genre whatsoever. Like, why, if the movie is outstanding and I am, like, afraid for my life and can't fall asleep at night, what do I have to gain from being that scared? Like, this is supposed, like, entertainment is supposed to relieve us of our stresses, not create new stresses. Like, I don't understand the concept of haunted houses. I don't understand the concept of horror movies. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. Although I will say this, I went on Wednesday to a restaurant in Little River. A buddy of mine was hosting people for an event up there, and the house that the restaurant was in was allegedly haunted, and the owner was talking about stories in that house. And I was totally cool with that. Like, it was a very entertaining story about, you know, stuff falling off the walls and, like, a woman yelling and stuff, and the house being haunted and previous owners saying the same thing. But I was cool with that when the lights were on and 10 other people were in the room. Like, if I had to close that restaurant that night, or if I was, like, one of the last people out of there, nope. Got no interest in that whatsoever. I do not understand the concept of being intentionally scared. People who like horror movies are imbalanced in some way. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, a lot of them are really poorly made, too. Either they're, like, very gruesome and, like, kind of nasty, or they're, like, just, like, ridiculous, like, no chance that's real at all.
Yeah, Texter writes in, you are way over analyzing FCS football, and if you want to lay Charleston -3, put $100 on it.
Ooh.
Someone's telling me to man up. Someone's telling me to man up and put $100 on it. I'll put $10 on it. I'll put $10 on on Charleston Southern, but I don't want to give you the points. I want to call it a pick 'em.
Yeah, you does not
because that was what I said last segment. I said I think Charleston Southern's going to win. The 3 points are a little dicey. That five dimes.
Yeah,
is putting
there. Coastal +3 is a money bet. I would be all over that.
Yeah. I just, again, I don't feel good about that game. But if you're trying to get me to bet $100, you need to understand a little bit more about my compensation plan and know that the risk is too high. I mean, I wouldn't take the Patriots against a middle school team for $100. I just don't have that kind of coin to put up.
Very true.
Brian, you said during the break you think the Pats are better than your Packers. How about that sacrilege?
Right now, I mean, look what they're doing offensively. It's unbelievable. If Aaron Rodgers threw the ball 55 times a game, I don't think anyone would stand a chance, but he only throws it like 20 like a normal quarterback.
Built
kind of
similarly. You guys both have that sledgehammer. You both have somewhat anonymous receiving cores, then you've got the Eddie Lacy and LeGarrette Blount, although I would definitely take Lacy over Blount in that proposition. Just kind of casually leaning toward the Patriots if I'm picking the best team in the NFL right now. Because just faith in Belichick over McCarthy. After what McCarthy did in last year's NFC title game, I kind of lost a little bit of
play. And just the anger situation. I mean, they're playing angry, and they have a reason to be. Like, the Packers don't have that chip on their shoulder, and that plays a significant factor.
All right, buy or sell is going to attempt to answer here one of the questions that we asked earlier in the show. Who in the Carolinas makes for the best sports Halloween costume? And I know that we said Spurrier would work. Opinions agree or disagree on Roy Williams. Someone texted me, someone tweeted that Roy Williams would work. Allegedly, he parts his hair in a funny way, and you could part your hair in the Roy Williams way, and people would understand. I just don't know that I could walk into a bar in Myrtle Beach with a funny hair part in a suit, maybe a championship ring. I don't know. I don't know if that plays as Roy Williams. I just don't think it would. I think if you're spurrier, you're shirtless, you're a visor, maybe you're throwing a headset, I think that people would say, okay, you're the ball coach.
Maybe if you're carrying a stack of NCAA violations with you.
Wow. Okay, you went there. What I'm actually buying is what my producer came up with during the break. I think that the Nature Boy is the best sports costume in the Carolinas.
Woo!
Now, that really depends on how you view sports versus acting and entertainment. But,
oh, tell Ric Flair he's not an athlete.
But if you go with the Nature Boy, if you go with the limousine, was the limousine riding?
It's too long. I can't remember, yeah.
yeah, Rolex wearing. I can't come up with the entire speech, but every football team in America is doing that speech in the locker room right now. Ric Flair's having like a cultural renaissance, or is it that people never... he's always been this
ageless awful wonder.
I don't know. I mean, people love the woo. I mean, if you drop the woo, everybody knows that you're Ric Flair. Like, if you're wearing some kind of wrestling getup and you walk into a bar and you do this,
you could probably do it without the
woo.
Really? You think? I mean, like, if you got the bleach hair, people would see you as being the Nature Boy. But if I'm doing a Halloween costume, I'm not selling out so hard. I'm bleaching my hair. Like, I'm just not doing Halloween that hard. Like, I contemplated when I was growing a feeble beard like a month and a half ago, keeping it to Halloween and going with a stashed Halloween character, but I lost commitment to that. I just, you know, I was about a month out and I was like, people don't like looking at me right now. This beard is just not strong enough to get away with. So the mustache Halloween idea, it's out. It's definitely out. What am I selling? Unfortunately, I am selling Conway winning Region 6-4A. They're playing Sumter tonight. That game likely is going to dictate the region. Conway, we found out earlier in the week, Brian Edwards is out for the season with torn cartilage in his knee, though he should be ready for South Carolina's spring practice. Peyton Derrick, their quarterback, has 30 touchdowns, 3 picks this season. So what can he do without Brian on the field? He's thrown a lot of those touchdowns to people not named Brian Edwards, but defenses have always had to respect Brian Edwards in the slot, and that's opened up the edges of the field for Peyton Derrick to work with some of their other receivers. So he is going to have to do more, and Jamaine Martin and the rest of the Conway offense is going to have to do more. But Sumter has been beating teams ragged in the last 3 weeks. And just looking at their scores, they 37-3 at Carolina Forest. So I'm taking Sumter to win, selling Conway winning the region. That's brought to you by philanthropist.com.